from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio people constantly want to comment on everything that changes in any given point around them. That's who we are. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Like the slightest bit of thing changes.
Those are new too.
I know. We got new schedules on the wall.
No, the cameras are on these new booms.
I mean, are we in a different studio?
I don't know.
We got new schedules on the wall. Cameras are on a boom.
At least for one day.
We got red lights here.
Oh, we got a schedule. That's huge.
That's what I thought you'd noticed, because that one changed. I look at the 2023 schedule all the time, and now we got the 2024 one up there. That was a big deal as well.
Well, what's great about the schedule on the wall is that we look at it so many times.
It is such
a great reference point.
Yes.
And like by the end of the first couple of weeks, I kind of have the schedule memorized.
Yeah, because you're just looking at it so much.
Like, I sort of forgot who we play after the Cowboys. I knew the Cowboys, the opener, like forever. And then you're like, oh, who do we play next? Oh, Jacksonville. Okay, September 15th.
Well, it's great for little moments.
On the road.
Like, so last night on Overtime with Jonathan Peterlin, please listen. Spencer German in tonight. Last night, I was like, we'll play the Cowboys week one. If they get off to a slow start, how many weeks until we play a good team again? And I'm going through my head. I'm like Jacksonville, not great, because I like Trevor Lawrence, but not many people like Trevor Lawrence. Giants, I love Malik Nabers, but they're not going to be a good team. Raiders, probably not a good team. Washington, Jaden Daniels is fun, probably not a good team. And I'm like, bang, biscuit. Eagles, let's do this thing. And it's nice. It's nice from that perspective. And then you just kind of go through and you go throughout the day.
So I had an interesting morning, rare morning.
Yeah, tennis in the land.
Yeah, so I woke up. I actually got up at like 6:20 this morning because I was like super fired up to get up here and play tennis. And I do a couple things. Been getting up a lot earlier now for whatever reason. I feel like you get stuff done before everyone wakes up.
That's age, isn't it?
Nah, maybe a little bit. But also like, kind of growing up a little bit, like doing things in the morning.
That's age. That's exactly what age is.
Not
just
age.
Like growing
it's
up, that's
not,
age.
It's not age. It's maturity. Age is not.
That's age. Well, a lot of times maturity and age is like that goes hand in hand,
yeah,
doesn't it?
I sort of disagree, but that's okay.
I mean, some people are 65 and act like they're 12. I get that as well, but.
Well, I'm 41 and I've always acted like I'm 12, so I'm trying to act like I'm an adult.
You've never slept particularly late. You have a job that affords you the opportunity to, if you want to sleep late, you could. Like,
I did for a while, and like after COVID and during COVID, I became the laziest POS in a long time, like my whole life, basically.
Oh.
And now I'm much better.
Well, that's good. Well,
yeah,
I feel like you're in a good headspace. That also helps as well.
Great path right now.
You know, that helps a big deal, I think.
Healthy. I've lost a ton of weight, and I was up this morning because I was so pumped. We'll talk about this on Wednesday. I got to play.
Well, what time was so early? Are you like Mark Wahlberg all of a sudden? Where you're like 4 in the morning, you're up and
no,
you're doing things?
No, I'm
going to
start getting up at 5, though, I think.
That's real early, man. Like, does that mean you go to sleep at 8:30? Like, are you going to be...
No, I don't have a problem getting
up. There's a lot of people that pat themselves on the back a lot for waking up at 5 in the morning, but they're the same people that are asleep at 8:30 at night. So it's
I never go to bed before 10:30.
You're shaking your head for her. I mean, that's a thing that happens.
I go to bed at like 10:30, maybe, probably 10:30 at the earliest.
Yeah,
I get up
you're just a different human in general.
I get up at 4:30.
You're beast mode. You're human life on beast mode. Like you can do that.
No, but it's a mind game.
It literally is.
You train your mind to get up.
I'm
eventually
sure
you just, but your body gets used to it because you're doing
people
it.
Can't live on 5 hours of sleep,
Everybody could do it if they just convince their mind to do it.
I mean, I don't know about that. My sleep's gotten so much better since I got diagnosed with sleep apnea, and I'm taking care of myself now because of that. Like I can actually go on 6.5 hours. There are a lot of times in my life where that would not have been the case, though. Like, I just think everyone's born different. Everyone's got different sets for what they can do. You know, like they say presidents for the longest time. Every president in the history of the entire presidency could go on like 5 hours of sleep. That was like one of the things that presidents did, right? Like some people are just
I don't know
built
how
a little
these,
bit different.
These candidates, like when they're running for campaign.
It's got to be exhausting.
They're in a different city every 2 hours, it seems like.
Got to be exhausting. But if you could do Keith's schedule where he's asleep at 10:30 and then up at 5 in the morning.
Dustin could do it. He played football. He had
I have no problem doing it.
I mean, I'm not going to sleep shame out there is the point, but, I can appreciate that you guys can do that.
I will try to catch up sometimes. If
get a lot accomplished.
Dude, like let's say there's a night where I'm up till 12:30 or 1 o'clock and I get up the next day at 5:36. Yeah, I'll be a little tired, but I'll still get up and go get the caffeine going early and then I'm fine. But I may be a little tired that night. I'll go to bed a little earlier.
Yeah, I just, it's not that I have a problem, but the people that wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, but then they're asleep by 8 o'clock, they're the ones that I'm like, you're not really breaking any sort of new entry point into the world of sleep there. Like you guys, though, you go to sleep at 10:30, you're up at 5, like that's, you guys are working on very minimal sleep relative to a lot of people, sure.
I just think that
if
I get 6 hours,
my body can't.
Around 6 to 7 hours, I'm good.
Yeah, I've gotten better with that.
Like 4 hours is not enough.
Since I got sleep apnea and I got my CPAP machine and everything like that, like 6.5, 7 hours, I can do. I'm good at it. All week long, I've gotten about 6.5, 7 hours. If you would have told me that 3 years ago, though, never, not in a million years. Not in a million years could I operate on that little sleep.
Sure, but I think that, at least for me, you know, when I get up early, you know, recently, and I can do something active, like whether it be working out or playing
something
tennis.
Something you're excited about.
Yeah, sure. I get up because I'm excited to play tennis.
That's true.
Every day.
I can always get up to go play golf. Yeah. I never get up very early, but I'll get up for golf at 5 in the morning, 5:30, 6 in the morning, whatever it is. I can do that.
And what it is, I get the dopamine hit from getting on the courts or whatever, and then you
for
work
sure.
out. And then if I'm done working out by 7:30 or 8 o'clock and I'm already showered and on to my day, I feel so much more productive. It is absolutely a high that gives me energy throughout the day. What's wrong?
Donnie, 3 weeks. I'm worried for Donnie. 3 weeks with little sleep, Donnie?
Oh, it's Johnny, but yeah.
Johnny,
what's
three
up,
weeks
what's
with
up,
little
Johnny?
Sleep. What's up, man?
This has been happening since the Army, so I'm used to it. But yeah, I mean, we're looking at, you know, 2:30, sometimes 3:30, and wake up at 06:30. And then we'll have one crash day on Sunday.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
you
got to
have a crash day if you're doing that little sleep.
You guys are impressive individuals. Like, I can't hold you to America's standard. You guys are the standard.
A+ draft class in the office this season. Going to go for the trifecta this year.
What trifecta?
Fantasy football.
Oh,
well, Josh Allen, first pick. I got Jamar Chase.
All right, Johnny.
Nobody cares about your fantasy football team.
Since sports betting, I really don't care about people's fantasy football team.
You mention your fantasy football team, I'm like going to punch you in the face.
I just don't
Not
care.
Really, but I'm like, that's how angry I get.
When sports gambling didn't exist, I was open to the conversation. Now that sports gambling exists, I don't understand the appeal of fantasy football in the slightest bit. And I really don't care about anybody's fantasy football
team.
No,
I don't.
Not in the slightest bit.
It's so boring.
So incredibly boring.
Oh, I need 3 points tonight. From Nick Chubb. Nobody cares.
And Jax knows. I'll listen to people talk about their gambling. I'll listen to the bets. I'll listen to the slips. I have no problem with that. Because I know it's not a long-term venture. I know it's something you did in that night. And in that moment, you're sweating it out, whatever reason. No problem with that. I just can't do the
random
right
small
now.
Talk of fantasy football. Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Back to this morning.
So it went well.
No. I got to get you to 9 o'clock.
Okay.
So I get up.
That's right. We're still at five in the morning.
Well, no, it's 7 now, and I'm
easing into our day.
Easing into the day. I'm like, I'm going to leave about 8 because I've got to be there at 9. I'm like, okay, get in the car. I'm playing in the land downtown on the tennis courts, and I'm so excited. You know, I'm on the highway, and I'm driving up here, and like I'm just going with traffic. You know what happens? Pulled over.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Did you go, I'm Dustin Fox, and get out of it?
I did not.
I've never once gotten out of a speeding ticket.
But you bet your ass I got out of it.
Well, okay. At what point did you get out of it? When he realized you were a national champion for his Ohio State Buckeyes?
I mean, maybe
or
he knew
Ohio
who I was.
State
I didn't pull the JT Barrett.
No, I would have if I was JT Barrett. No, I don't know.
It wasn't that big a deal, but like
Scheffler didn't do it in that big moment. I don't know that I would have gone through with it either. If there ever was a time to say, "Do you know who I am?" Scheffler had a chance to do it, and because he didn't, I have to think that not that I am anybody. You are somebody. I'm not anybody. I don't think I would ever pull it off though.
So the cop was, by the way, super nice dude.
Yeah, he let you off.
Yeah, I didn't know that he was going to, but the first thing out of his mouth was he's like, "Yeah." He's like, it was a construction zone, and like, I'm just going with traffic.
Yeah.
At that point. And he's like, yeah, I was going to get the Kia in front of you. He was going faster. I'm like, why would you tell me that?
Yeah, that's not nice to say.
That's what I said to him. I'm like, are you serious, dude? Like, you were going to get the car in front of me that was going faster than me, and you pulled me
over. You said that to the cop?
I did. In kind of that tone.
Man, I couldn't do that.
I was like, I was like kind of pissed he said that to me.
I have very much hands on the wheel.
At this point, I'm like,
maybe that's why I never got out of a ticket, though. Dude, I'm hands on the wheel, like, okay, if that's your call.
But I was like, come on, man. I was like, basically, I asked him before we went back to the car, I'm like, can you cut me a break? I said, I'm just drilling with traffic. You know, I'm not trying to break the law or hurt anybody. He goes back to the car, he comes back. He's like, listen, man, you haven't had any tickets since 2016. I'm like, because I follow the law. He's like, you're good, man. Have a good day. Slow down.
That was nice.
It was great.
Never happens for me. Not once. I'm happy it happened for you.
Yeah. I was just like, why did you tell me you were going to get somebody else in front of me?
You realize like how lucky you are that like you don't have to go to the traffic school now or anything like that. You don't have to do any of the other stuff.
No, I just got a ticket.
I mean,
it'd have been like $350.
If you want to get it so it doesn't go on the insurance and everything like that, don't you have to go to like the, I did it one time. I was going really fast though. I drive like an old lady now these days. I drive very, very slow.
I was
long
going
time ago,
with
me
traffic.
Did not drive slow. Yeah.
And then he got on my ass and did not turn on his lights. So I get over because I'm like, this guy's on my ass. So he immediately gets over. It was kind of aggressive actually. So then I get back and he stays behind me for like 10 minutes.
Okay.
But anyway, got to tennis. Fantastic, dude.
It seemed cool. You showed me some of the photos.
Awesome,
that seems
awesome,
like that's
a
memory for a lifetime.
Yeah, we were there 3 hours, had a blast.
All right.
Sorry to take the whole first segment.
It's fine. We'll get into more of it a little bit later on, I'm sure. We do have to talk about your favorite topic, which is Deshaun Watson and preseason football.
Yay.
I know you've been thrilled about it all week long. I know you've been excited to discuss it all week long. I said coming into today, I knew I was like, I think I have a lot of excitement for it, and I can explain some of those reasons. I think a lot of people are at the point where it's like, play, don't play. We need to figure it out. But there is a real question attached to all this, Dustin. In thinking about Saturday, why do you think Deshaun is not playing in this game if he, in fact, doesn't play, which it seems like it's trending towards? Is it about Deshaun, or is it about the situation around Deshaun? Because I think there's a clear distinction between the two. Michael Sean Dugar covers the Seahawks for The Athletic, also part of the Man to Man podcast. He's going to join us coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll give you the Seahawks version of the breakdown. And really, one of the reasons why we want to have him on is we want to find out if Jermaine Orfetti can handle the idea that he might have to protect Deshaun Watson. I'm of the belief, and I think you are too, Dustin, that Deshaun Watson will not be playing on Saturday. I think that's a fair assumption.
Yeah,
I
don't think it's happening.
Well, so let's ask people, 216-474-092, why do you think he's not playing in this game? Is it about Deshaun, or is it the situation around Deshaun? We know about the general soreness report. We also know that some people believe the general soreness is just a little bit of a cover-up for the idea that Deshaun Watson doesn't want to go up against the offensive line. And as Mary Kay, I believe, correctly pointed out on Baskin and Phelps yesterday, it really would kind of stink if Kevin Stefanski came to the podium and was like, yeah, we can't play him because Ofetti blows. Like, and obviously, that was way harsher than what Mary Kay said. I said it with my own terms, but that's the gist of it. You can, like, as a head coach, you can't go to the podium and say, we're not playing our starting quarterback because we have no faith in a backup left tackle to be able to do the job well. Do you
right,
feel like there's a cover-up there?
That's what they're saying. Is there a cover-up? Like what? Like they didn't practice yesterday because they wanted to make sure that people didn't question why he wasn't playing?
No, well, the cover-up would be, and again, he practiced more yesterday, and I think yesterday was in full. It was 2 days ago with the general soreness, where he still did practice, by the way. It's not like he didn't get out there. He still did practice, but the idea being that Kevin Stefanski has to come up with a reason outside of what is currently the obvious reason that he doesn't want to see Deshaun Watson get killed, and he doesn't want to tell the offensive line he doesn't think they can protect Deshaun Watson.
Well, I sort of think that we all know that. I mean, if that's the case, that we all know that, then do we want him out there?
Well, and I think that's where Stefanski would have come to that conclusion. right? If he's come to that conclusion, now then that is a crafty move on his behalf to then be thinking ahead of time. Because what you are doing in saying general soreness for Deshaun Watson, there's a lot of red flags that did get raised there. A lot of people that sat back and said, well, I know what general soreness is, but I'm gonna monitor this situation. Because that is something wrong then that you're telling us with Deshaun Watson. Now, I'm of the belief, Dustin, and maybe I'm just on an island myself, I'm of the belief that the Browns, how they handled it last year with Deshaun Watson, where they were just told us a bunch of half-truths and misled us to eventually finding out that he had to be out for the remainder of the season. But remember that few weeks stretch in between, even going up until the Colts game where then he started and then had to be removed from the game? They led us to think that it wasn't a serious anything. So I never know. When something's wrong with Deshaun Watson, or Deshaun Watson doesn't practice in full, or Deshaun Watson doesn't do everything in full, my antennas go up. I no longer believe the Browns and take them at their word because of last season. When it comes to Deshaun Watson, they lost my good faith in the belief that what they're telling us is the actual truth when it comes to his injuries. Because they misled us the entire stretch of the way throughout that whole entire thing. They told us it was one thing, turned out to be a completely different thing. They downplayed it the entire time, and then it turned up to be the biggest deal imaginable. So I don't give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't believe anything they have to say on the basis of Deshaun Watson. So I don't know. Is general soreness actually general soreness, and he's protecting the offensive line? Or is general soreness really something more that we need to be thinking about and taking into consideration?
I'm concerned about it, but I'm also like not freaking out about it. It's a slight concern, not a panic, because I want them to protect him and make sure that if there's any little anything, you sit out, take some time. Like, what's the rush to get him? Oh, you got to get him on the field for September 8th. But this game, and again, I want to see him play, but I don't want to see him play at the risk of his health.
It's a risk-reward question. It always has been. It's a risk-reward question. And I went and looked at some of the research, and I dug a little bit deeper to try to figure out what the success rate or the lack thereof of quarterbacks that don't play at all in the preseason. Last night on my show, I was talking a little bit about the idea that Deshaun Watson is one of the few quarterbacks in the NFL that you'll see just not play at all in the preseason. And I got a tweet back, and I want to give credit to the guy that tweeted it back at me, because he gave me three quarterbacks on the spot. I want to give him his proper credit. The real Hank on Twitter was like, several starting quarterbacks have sat out preseason: Lamar, Aaron Rodgers, Jalen Hurts. And I thought to myself, I'm like, wait, Lamar and Jalen Hurts are the same quarterback in many respects. They have the same quarterback profile. They're running quarterbacks to the extreme. That's what they do. And running quarterbacks, part of the reason why Lamar wanted to make sure he got paid is he looked around and saw Cam Newton, a running quarterback at 26 years old, be a Pro Bowler, and at 27 have knees that look like oatmeal and not be any good anymore. Like you got so much wear on the tires if you're a running quarterback. So it made sense to me that Lamar and Jalen Hurts were one of the quarterbacks that hadn't played at all in the preseason, and then the other one was Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers has gone publicly out of his way to voice why he doesn't want to play in the preseason, and that's his own ideology. The man has won four MVPs. He can do whatever the hell he wants as far as I'm concerned. But I was looking at it, Dustin.
Yeah.
Six quarterbacks in the last 2 years haven't played in the preseason at all. Lamar's the only one to win a game out of those entire quarterbacks in week one. That's it. The numbers since 2018, quarterbacks that didn't play in the preseason, you're 17-16. You are a one game above 500 quarterback in that stretch. And I don't think we're asking for a 500 record from Deshaun Watson this season, but is there anything you can take away from those numbers? Is there anything you can take away from the quarterbacks that have opted to not play in the preseason and then start their season and think that everything's going to be okay?
No, I can't. I mean, I think that if your quarterback can get through it healthy, I do think it helps them be prepared for week one. But I can't say for sure definitively that it is consequential.
Lamar's the only quarterback with a win in the previous 2 years to have not played in a preseason game. And I think the difference for why he was able to win a game, and you can attest to this a little bit, because you played for John Harbaugh at one point. Harbaugh runs really tough practices. Harbaugh notoriously runs really tough practices, puts his team in really difficult situations.
How about when he ran the special teams practice prior to the practice that was 3 hours, and we spent 45 minutes on the field for special teams before sprinting down as a gunner?
That's not camp med,
as
you call it.
He wore us out, man.
Yeah, like he is known for his ridiculously hard practices. I don't know if you feel the same way that I do about Stefanski and his practices this preseason. They haven't felt like they're too difficult, Dustin. They're not a Harbaugh-level difficulty practice.
No.
Like, we've not gotten a lot of reports out of Berea like, oh, Stefanski, man, he rode him hard. He really challenged this offense. How many days do we get back where it's not general soreness, but it's Deshaun Watson didn't even throw a football when he's closing out his entire practice session? And I'm not making the biggest deal out of this. I'm not. Harbaugh's got a different thought process and whether or not they play in the preseasons. Because, you know, 3 years ago, J.K. Dobbins got injured. It ruined their entire season. And he had to refocus and figure some things out from there. And I feel like that's why Baltimore put such an emphasis on the practices and being really hard on the practices. And basically has told Lamar, you're not doing the preseason. It's just not a thing that we're going to let you do. Mm-hmm. And this is how you have to go ahead and approach it. If you want to be on the Ravens, this is how we do things. And he's fallen right in line. And you could tell they got the Chiefs week one, Dustin. They're not shaking in their boots or anything like that. They're fine. They're confident that Harbaugh is going to get them there. But I think the difference between a Harbaugh practice and a Stefanski practice, and maybe why some of the other players that haven't practiced in the preseason the past couple of years ended up on the losing side of things, falls in line with that right there. And I don't know. Maybe they enter week one because Deshaun hasn't had any practice, and maybe they do look a little sluggish against the Cowboys in week one. Maybe. And again, the other side of the coin's there too. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it's all just sports talk radio fodder for the time of the year that it is, and we'll end up thinking we just wasted a lot of time discussing this when it's all said and done. I don't know. Not here to say. I don't know. But I do find the approach fascinating, and how some teams and some players are saying no thanks, and other players are like Joe Burrow, for instance, begging his head coach to let him on the field in the final preseason game, and Zach had to sit around and say, like, you're not getting on there, which I did think was interesting based off of our conversation earlier in the week. Joe Burrow said he wanted to play, and Zach Taylor was like, no. He didn't have the final call there.
I'm thinking.
Well, I mean, your conversation, your point on it is the right one in this discussion that we're having right now.
I think sometimes the coach has to put the shock collar on the player, so to speak. In like that situation, Zach Taylor's being told from the training staff, you know, what's the deal? With Burrow and his rehab progression, all that stuff. Like, I think you have to trust those people. And again, it's a unique situation. It's different than here, I think. But it's a fair question to ask. Like, why is it different there than here? And I don't know. I think the coach should have the say. I think the coach has the say here. I don't think that the player should have a say if he doesn't want to play.
So if you want to play, then it's the coach's call.
If you don't want to play, then it should go. I just think the coach's call no matter what, honestly.
It's kind of the vibe I got from you earlier on in the week. And that's why we asked Stefanski that question straight up, and Stefanski said that it was his call. And at the time, you contended, basically, that it always should be the coach's decision in your mind, and you thought that there was a recognition from both of us that today's athlete is different, today's quarterback is different. I think we both recognize that, and I think players are getting more power than they've ever had before. But you look at Joe Burrow is coming off an injury. Joe Burrow has every reason to think that he should be out there, just the same way Deshaun Watson should have every reason to think he should be out there. And Zach Taylor put the brakes on it and said, you're not going out there. It's not happening. And Burrow publicly, like, they asked him, did you want to be out there? He's like, yeah, I wanted to be out there. I campaigned. I tried to make that start. I thought I needed it. And Zach Taylor decided no, and so the answer was no. I think it's interesting. Like, will we get to a part after this game if Kevin Stefanski comes out and says no the way that I think he's going to? And as he told us on Tuesday, it's his call. Do you think we'll get a sideline interaction where Deshaun Watson does something similar to what Joe Burrow did, where he's like, I campaigned for it. I wanted it. Now I'm on the sideline. It is what it is. I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked by it, I'll tell you that much. I wouldn't be surprised if Deshaun Watson lets everyone know where he stood. And maybe secretly Deshaun Watson doesn't want to do this and it's all one big cover-up anyway. I'm not sure. I just have not gotten the impression from him through any YouTube video that I've watched him do or anything like that, any interview that I've seen him do. I just haven't gotten the impression that he's like, he just doesn't want to be out there. But again, maybe it's the offensive line, and maybe this is just what they have to say right now with the general soreness and everything else, because he understands it's not an easy situation that they have when you have Jermaine Ifedi, a guy that historically, if I were to ask anyone that watched him play in Seattle, by the way, they'd be like, yeah, the guy plays the right side of the line. He doesn't play the left side of the line. Like, he's a backup's backup if there ever was one. Maybe he's like, I don't want to do that. But then it brings like something like Kyle Shanahan into the equation, where Shanahan spent this past week after...
And maybe Fetty's going to be a decent player at some point, but he's so inexperienced and just raw that I don't trust him.
Well, Shanahan got cooked for putting Brock Purdy out there when Trent Williams wouldn't be out there in the preseason. And Shanahan went on publicly on Sirius XM radio and was like, he's an NFL player. But you guys act like he isn't an NFL player. He's an NFL player. And I thought it was a good point by Shanahan. Like, Ifedi's still an NFL player. You guys act like he's a garbage can. You act like he's a traffic cone with a helmet.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it's...
He's still an NFL player.
Correct. But the problem is, even though he's an NFL player, he's raw, and he plays like the most important position in football.
It's very important.
You got to protect the golden goose.
I think I'm more interested in the Deshaun Watson sideline interview now than I am the actual game. I think I've talked myself into being interested in the Deshaun Watson sideline interview.
Well, if he doesn't play, that's the only thing worth watching.
Are we going to get that? If he doesn't play, are we going to get him in the...
Although, to be fair, the starters, it sounds like a lot of the starters will play in this game, so that it's going to be worth watching the first half.
That's what they should do. Is put them up in the booth.
I told you I've been going to bed at like 10:30. I got to stay up for this one, huh?
Is that in preparation for you to for a late night? You got no chance of staying up till 1:30. Yeah, this game's gonna end at like 1:30.
It's Saturday night, right?
Yeah, it's Saturday night. The one night you could do it.
Yeah, there's no chance I'm staying up because I'm gonna be in Tennessee. I've got to go to Chattanooga tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
High school game, right?
On Sunday.
All right, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Yeah, you need some good night's rest for sure. Let's go out. North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Let's talk to Michael Sean Dugard, The Athletic, covers the Seahawks man-to-man podcast as well as he joins us right here on The Fan. Michael, how's it going today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good. We're trying to get ready for the Browns and the Seahawks, and we're trying to figure out why. Well, you know, I was joking before we just got to talk to you about the like all the football, the nitty gritty football fans that are excited for Witherspoon versus Jerry Jeudy. That seems to be the highlight. But what's interesting to me is that you guys haven't seen your starters much in the preseason. Browns haven't seen many of their starters in the preseason either. And it's the first opportunity for both teams. I like that they're on the same page that way.
Yeah, because otherwise it gets a little wonky. You know, I feel like we've seen that already in the preseason. I was just watching the Colts and Bengals last night. I think the Bengals sat everybody, but the Colts played everybody. And I think the Broncos and the Packers had a similar thing. Bo Nix and the starters played, but the Packers sat everybody. And, you know, you can still evaluate guys when they're out there because some things are just, you know, pretty simple no matter who you're playing, you know, technique, you know, whether you make or miss tackles, catch the ball, throw accurate passes, you know, stuff like that is pretty simple whether you're playing UFL players or, you know, NFL starters. But it is nice, though, when you have starters on starters, you know, good on good, you know, as much as I enjoy some good preseason violence, I would like to know, you know, who I'm watching. You know, that's usually nice. And I don't know any of the Browns backups really like that. I know the starters. So, it'll be nice to see them for however long they're out there.
I've been a big fan of Geno Smith for years, really since he came out.
Well
documented. I've stood by his side through thick and thin. And when he came to Seattle and got the opportunity, I definitely took a victory lap on that. How's he you know, playing here in training camp? I like I said, he's been really good here in the past. Where are we at with Geno?
Yeah, Geno's thing is, I mean, I guess a little bit surprisingly, because of how he started off in New York, is his accuracy. I mean, he puts that ball where it needs to go, you know, and it's not just on a certain type of pass, you know, whereas like Russ, for instance, Russ is really good, really accurate. But like he was particularly accurate on like the deep ball. That was like his specialty. The moon ball was great. Probably one of the best in the league for a long time. Whereas Gino kind of has like, I feel like more touch, a little better vision up to certain parts of the field that really just stands out, particularly in training camp when we're a lot closer to him. You know, there are some times he makes a throw and I'm maybe, what, 20 yards away from, you know, his launch point, which is a lot closer than I am during a game and obviously much closer than watching on film. So just to see it closer, it's pretty crazy. You know, he hits out routes with consistency, and those are usually a sign of big boy accuracy because out routes are pretty hard to throw, particularly to the opposite hash. Geno's kind of money on those, hits the middle of the field with regularity. And then, yeah, the deep ball stuff is money. He's been doing that, though, since West Virginia. So the accuracy just really stands out every camp. I mean, it always stood out on film, but I was even talking to someone from the Seahawks' new coaching staff. They were saying the same thing, you know, unprompted. They were just like, yeah, now that we're here, man, Gino can really spin it, you know. It kind of confirmed what I was thinking on the sidelines that, yeah, even someone who's been watching ball all their life was like, yeah, this Geno Smith guy can really spin. Doesn't mean he's perfect or anything, but that is certainly like his superpower, quote unquote, you know, as a QB.
Michael Sean Dugar covers the Seahawks for the Athletic Man-to-Man podcast as well, joining us here on The Fan. Let me ask you about the defensive line, and I ask with reason. Jermaine Ifedi is probably going to start at left tackle for the Browns. Our offensive line took a lot of injuries in the second game. It's not a great situation, and it's not going to be the day one, week one starting offensive line, I would imagine. Is the defensive line for Seattle and what you guys are throwing out there, is that going to be something that if Deshaun does play, Browns fans should maybe be fearful of?
Absolutely. I mean, I watched a great deal of Jermaine Ifedi, you know, in Seattle. Never saw him play left tackle, I don't think, but right guard and right tackle. So if he's the starter at left, even if it's because of injury, you know, and Seattle's putting out a starting defensive front, I would probably not put Deshaun out there. You know, that's just me. I'm not in charge over there. I should say that I'm also not a huge fan of playing the starters in the preseason. Just the risk reward just doesn't do it for me. Like the possibility of an injury is more severe than the reward of potentially shaking off any rust, right, or picking up on any timing. And we got 17 games for that. We'll be okay. So yeah, even if you're banged up at O-line, I would just wrap Deshaun in bubble wrap, you know, and it wouldn't put him out there, particularly if his left tackle is someone the Seahawks know really well. You know, I don't think team scouts super in depth for their opponent in the preseason. They don't got to scout Jermaine. They know him. So like, yeah, I probably wouldn't put him out there.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they're going to end up doing that. There's no official announcement yet. It seems like it's leaning towards Deshaun not being out there. It's going to be Jameis, but then it'll be all the other starters. And we mentioned about Jerry Jeudy in the matchup with Witherspoon. Who has the advantage there? You feel like Jerry Jeudy can actually do something against someone as talented as Witherspoon?
Yeah, I mean, Spoon isn't like already Hall of Fame player, you know, and Jerry Jeudy has had some success in some preseason games and some regular season games against Seattle. You know, he had, I think, a 67-yard touchdown against the Seahawks in the 2022 season opener on Monday Night Football. Just smoked one of the Seahawks nickels. I think that was Kobe Bryant on that play. He also had some really good routes, I think, in the 2021 or 2022 preseason against the Seahawks, maybe even 2023. Like, he's smooth, and he's a good route runner, good at the top of his routes. I would guess that he has the advantages because offensive players just tend to have the advantage. Like, I think Spoon is a better player, but it's just so hard in this league. You know, for instance, Spoon's really good at the top of his routes as well, like covering guys. But I would guess that the refs at practice maybe let a little bit more go than, you know, a ref would in a preseason game. So let's say Jerry tries to run like a little dig route or something and Spoon's all over it, but then boom, here comes a flag, you know, because it's the preseason for the refs too. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see something like that because Spoon is not like, he's not a very passive corner. You know, when the ball's in the air, he feels he has just as much of a right to it and he's almost as obligated to catch it as the receiver, which is obviously not how it works, but that's just how his brain goes. So I know whenever he gets a target against anybody on the Browns, he's going to be very aggressive going at the ball.
What's that relationship like with Pete Carroll and the Seahawks right now? I know he just took a job with USC as an instructor, but there hasn't been much contact, I know, with the organization since he left.
Yeah, my understanding is that Pete's just kind of doing his own thing. Pete is, I think he's been fishing. He's spending time with his grandkids. His other kids, his kids are grown. Some of them are on his coaching staff, but yeah, he's got grandkids now. I think he might even have like a new-ish grandkid, if I heard correctly. But yeah, I know he's taking the job to be a teacher at USC, a class that I really hope that someone at the athletic page for me to like take, you know, go down there to USC and write about that. That seems like a super fun thing for me to do, and I get to spend some time, you know.
You sound like you're excited to learn. You're just excited about that. But like, would you actually be excited if they're like, take the what? Well, I don't know what class he would teach. Like, Mike Leach taught, was it history or some sort of war class? Is it something like that? You'd be like, I'll take 4 months worth of classes to then write an article.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would for sure, especially if it's in the spring, which I believe Pete said it was going to be. So it wouldn't, okay. I wouldn't have to miss any like games. Games are the moneymaker for me, you know, in the regular season. But yeah, if he's just taking like if I got to take a spring semester to go down to LA, which I work from home in the spring anyway. Yeah, I'd for sure do that. I take my family down there, you know, post up in LA and learn from Pete Carroll on Tuesdays and Thursdays or however they do the classes there. I've also never been to private school. So going to USC would be like, check a random thing off the box there. I would definitely do that. Pete's a great dude, you know, really charismatic, great showman. I can't imagine the things that he would have college kids doing, you know, because he's still just a big bottle of energy at, I believe he'd be 72 years old at the start of those classes, which is kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah, it's definitely the type of thing that the Athletic would go for. Like, that is the I can tell why you work at the Athletic, because that thought process right there is exactly. It's just a great idea. It's a great idea. Like, you need to find a way to convince them to let you do that.
I'm gonna try. This is like I have some other things. I want them to let me try, you know. But yeah, I would definitely at least send me for the first week or something like that. You know, for a few months is maybe a long time, but the first like few weeks of classes. Yeah, come on.
That's all you need to write the great story. Michael Sean Dugard joining us here, covers the Seahawks for the Athletic, man-to-man podcast as well here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Let me ask you, now for the defensive side of the ball for the Browns going up against this Seahawks offense, what in particular do you feel like Browns fans should be focusing on as Browns fans enter the season thinking that we have one of the better defenses once again this year in all the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have like the home road splits on the Browns defense like right in front of me, but
it wasn't great last year. They allowed 10 points a game. On the road, it was 31 points a game.
Wow.
Yeah, massive disparity. You're like, why do you know that off the top of your head? Well, we do a lot of this, but also it was a talking point last year.
Yeah, and I knew that it was bad. I didn't realize it was that bad. That's awful. But so that would be, you know, to that point, the thing I just would want to see consistency from the defense on the road. You know, the Seahawks didn't put up a ton of points against them in the game last year. I think it was only like 24.
You scored twice in the first like 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, and then it was a lull, and then the Jackson Smith and Jigba ended up getting the game winning touchdown on a screen pass. So I would really just want to see, you know, some consistency on the road. I mean, you're not going to get a ton of consistency in a few series, I guess, but still, you know, like you said, the Seahawks came out firing in that game. So, you know, if Geno and those guys only get a couple series, you know, tomorrow night, then I would hope it from the Browns, like, yeah, let's shut these guys down. Like, and show that we're better than those splits were last year. Cause that's actually a really bad split. I didn't realize it was that bad. That's like awful. So, yeah, that's what I would be hoping for. I don't think DK Metcalf is going to play much. I don't think Tyler Lockett is going to play at all. He hasn't practiced in like 3 weeks. So that works in the Browns' favor there. It's really just Jake Bobo and Jackson Smith and Jigba, but as the Browns defense know, Jackson's pretty dangerous too. So I would be looking to like stop him, stop Jake Bobo, get to Geno a couple times, and just show that like we can ball out on the road too.
I don't have a good feel for the Seahawks this year. I usually have a good feel for most teams. I don't have what's the sentiment locally? Do you guys give me like a win loss projection? What do you think is the right area of wins for the Seahawks in it's a brand new season in many respects for the Seahawks.
Yeah, I would say anywhere from 7 to 9, perhaps. I really need to see the O-line. I'm a big believer in, like, your O-line dictates your record perhaps more than any position group on your team outside of quarterback, you know. And even then, you give me, like, Sam Darnold, you know, who's what, on his fourth team in, like, 6 years or something like that, 7 years. He's not very good. But Minnesota's O-line is decent. And, you know, I feel like Sam could probably be all right behind something like that. you know, especially if you got quarterback friendly receivers too. So I feel like if Geno gets protection, he'll be okay. If not, it could get ugly. And not ugly like Geno's numbers would be bad, because even last year, I think Geno was like top five in pressure rate, but like in the bottom 10 in sack rate. So he knows how to protect himself and get rid of the ball, but ultimately that was their undoing, you know, because when your own line stinks, then you can't run the ball, you can't protect your quarterback, people get hurt. You know, Geno got hurt last year, you know, twice. So that's the thing I'm looking at. If the O-line is good, like just good, like legit, mm-hmm. like top 15-ish, that's a 10-win team. Because the rest of the roster is honestly fine. You know, got a few Pro Bowlers here and there, young dudes, some good veterans sprinkled around, Jaren Reed, Leonard Williams, a couple of young guys who have made some Pro Bowls and popped, Devin Witherspoon, Zeke Woolen, Julian Love. So they got young talent mixed with like the Grizzly vets, you know, a few elite players with like DK Metcalf, who's a blue chip player, Devin Witherspoon, blue chip player. So I feel like the recipe is there, but you notice I just didn't name anyone up front. Yeah. So I need someone up front to be like one of those blue chip players. And if so, then I think this team could maybe be like second in the NFC West, be like a frisky wild card team, mm-hmm. kind of like the Packers and the Rams were last year.
All right, last one, and we're just looking for honesty here. I just want an outside perspective on a Browns question because we're about to play a clip from Kyle Brandt coming up next segment, as he was saying Kevin Stefanski is going to be in the hot seat. Stefanski got an extension this last offseason. A lot of Browns fans locally would suggest that's insane, but I think if you went from a national perspective, you might look at Stefanski and say, this is year five. He's got one playoff win. Does it seem like to you, just honestly looking at it, does it feel like to you Kevin Stefanski's on the hot seat and could end up without a job if it doesn't go right this year?
Yeah, I feel like hot seat stuff is more like people who are plugged into ownership to know someone gets burned. But I do, you know, Daniel Oyefusi, you know, the new ESPN Browns guy, that's my guy. So we talk about the Browns, you know, fairly often. I remember I texted him like, I want to say maybe like a month ago, mm-hmm. and was like, hey, man, this defense, like, I'm all in on this. Like, I like the players. You know, I like the scheme. You know, I like Jim Schwartz. So I was like, okay, this is doing it for me. And then I looked at the offensive depth chart. I was like, O-line a little shaky. But I do like the skill guys. I was like, if Deshaun is just like league average, I feel like everyone keeps their jobs. But, I mean, you guys would know better than me. I know Daniel would too. It doesn't look like that's been the case in camp. And then I don't even know how healthy he is, you know, if his shoulder's okay. You know, I'm genuinely concerned because it feels like job security for everyone. I think Andrew Berry's got an extension, but still, like, job security for everybody relies on, like, what big moves you make and how did they pay off. And it feels like a lot of the chips got pushed in, you know, to get Deshaun, and there's just been no fruits, you know, to that labor. So that's when I think about hot seats for anyone in Cleveland, from management to coaching staff. It's like, are you guys going to get the most out of Deshaun, or is this just going to blow up in your face? And if so, I don't know how anyone survives that.
Michael, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the game this weekend, and we'll catch up with you later. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Great. All right.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.